Chapter 28. Human Failings. Karatan during the Great Crusade. Night had fallen over Kartor City for the last time. Through a combined effort of Imperial Army, both infantry and armored, Titans from the Legio Ignis and two Space Marine Legions, the world of Karatan was at last officially deemed compliant. With the warriors' work now done, the Imperial Administration, with its army of logisticians, codifiers, servitors, engineers, manufacturers, taxonomers, and scriveners, could begin the long task of recolonizing 1874 and repatriating it in the name of the Emperor and the Imperium. Its old name of Karatan, together with the names of all its cities and other important geographical locations, would change. For now, simple designations would suffice, such as the signifier it had been given when the War of Compliance had been authorized by the Terran High Council. In time, new appellations would be chosen in order to help colonists better adapt and think of the world as their own, as a loyal imperial world with loyal imperial citizens. Karatan and all its associated trappings represented rebellion and discord. By changing its names, you revoked their power and supplanted it with another's. Part of this transformation began with the logging and transportation of the entire population of Karatan. These men, women, and children, be they rebels or innocents, would never see their home again. Some would go to the penal colonies. Others would be sent to worlds in need of indentured workers. Some would be executed. But in the end, the cultural footprint of the Karatan people would disappear forever. Logistician Murbo thought on none of this as he conducted final checks before the transporter's departure. After what had seemed like days rather than hours of painstaking cataloguing and questioning, the Departamento Munitorum, assisted by administratum clerks in battalion strength cohorts, had finally rounded up and divided Kartor's population. This was the last city. It had also been one of the largest. Headache didn't even begin to describe the wretched pounding that was alive in Murbo's skull, so his temper was short, as well as his diligence. As he rattled by the first transport, he didn't notice the smell. He had a gaggle of servitors and a Lex mechanic in tow, but they had long since been divested of the burden of olfactory sensation, so didn't raise any question either. It was dark, and a cold wind was coming in across the desert. Murbo wanted to be back in his lodgings, aboard ship, warm, and with something warming in his belly, too. He'd been saving a bottle for just this occasion. There were over 50 transports to check, log, and verify before he was done. Then he had to confirm passenger designation with the pilot and input said data onto his slate, which he now had in his hand. Administratum protocol was to make visual checks also, to ensure that no one was missed. In the chaotic scramble after a successful compliance that began on a war footing, it was not uncommon for entire swathes of population to be forgotten about. The first tranche of ex-Kartans, the prisoners bound for the penal colonies, had already gone. Murbo's job was to dispatch those people who were destined to become imperial citizens on brave new worlds. He wasn't sure who he pitied more, but his sympathy didn't last. Rebellion reaped its own harsh rewards when it was against the Imperium. He panned the weak loom bar around the hold, saw the dead-eyed inhabitants contemplating their new lives, and approximated a headcount. All seemed fine at first, but when he got to the second transport and was about to move on to the third, he paused. "Did they seem a little quiet to you?" he asked the Lex mechanic. The hunched clerk seemed perplexed by the question. "I suspect they are contemplating the folly of rising up against the Imperium." No, thought Mirbo, that wasn't it. There was nothing that Mirbo wanted more in that moment than to be done with his business and be off to his quarters for the flight up to 1874's atmosphere. But the ex-Kartans tended to be more vocal. Then there was the smell, which, buoyed on the desert breeze, had begun to seem more noisome. He increased the intensity of the loom bar's glow and went back to the first transport. Oh, Thrawn, he gasped, shining the light into the hold again. Frantically, Mirbo ran to the next transport and did the same again. Then he went to the third, the fourth, the fifth. By the time he reached the 12th, he was violently sick. Still doubled over, Mirbo waved off the Lex mechanic who went to help him. Don't look in there, he warned, then asked, who's still planetside? Again the hunched little man looked confused in his drab robes. Besides us? Military, said Mirbo, wiping down his chin. The Lex mechanic checked his slate. According to the Munitorum's log, all military assets have left the surface. He paused, holding up a withered-looking hand as he checked further. But there are still two Legion transports on the ground. Hail them, Mirbo commanded. Do it now!